From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. Here's your host at the Lerner Theater in Elkhart, Indiana, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. It is wonderful to be here in Elkhart. Later on, we'll be talking to Muffet McGraw, who is not an adorable cartoon character, but the celebrated women's basketball coach at Notre Dame. Now, Elkhart, Indiana, where we are, is most well known for being the RV capital of the world. They make half of all RVs right here in Elkhart. This means, if you think about it, half of all your miserable family trips born right here. This place is like the Fertile Crescent of screaming at your kids. Well, we've gathered around the fold-out dining table, so why don't you join the conversation? The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Mona Kosim from Riverside, Connecticut.
Mona Kosim from Riverside, Connecticut. Where in Connecticut is that?
That's near the New York border, near the Sound.
Near the Sound. So you're down there near the Sound and along the water there. What do you do?
I am responsible for field marketing for a technology research company.
Field marketing?
Yep, we help sales. Help sales sell.
You help sales sell.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the world anymore.
I know.
Well, welcome to the show, Mona. It's a pleasure to have you. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, a comedian and the host at Vocalo.org over in Chicago. It is Brian Babylon.
Hey, Mona. How are you?
Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Entertainment Weekly's afternoon show on Sirius XM, it's Faith Saley.
Hi, Mona.
And finally, the man behind Esquire's inflammatory politics blog, it's Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Mona.
Mona, welcome to the show. You'll start us off here with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will recreate for you three important quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win the prize. Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
I am.
All right, Mona, here is your first quote.
Kaboom!
That was the sound of the nuclear option. As described by the Daily Coast website, the nuclear option was deployed where this week?
In Washington, in the Senate.
In the Senate, exactly right. Very good, Mona. The nuclear option sounds so exciting. Imagine a new Robert Ludlum thriller with a picture of a bare-chested Harry Reid on the cover. Okay, don't do that. But it's still, But it still was thrilling when Reid detonated the nuclear option in the Senate, spreading deadly radiation everywhere so that horrible, shambling mutants with baggy skin and dead eyes came crawling out of the Capitol. Actually, the nuclear option, just a procedural change, and those desiccated husks, just what senators usually look like.
You know, people are saying the political process is in shambles, but yes. I think this is progress, because finally, on both sides of the aisle, we've got people saying nuclear, and no one's saying nuclear. Do you know that filibuster comes from a Dutch word for pirates?
Also freebooters.
Yeah, freebooters.
It comes from the word freebooter.
Yeah, and I would be totally up for any senator having the floor for hours and days on end if he had like an eye patch and a leather vest.
And talk like a pirate?
Yeah.
This could be like a new Disney ride where instead of those animatronic things.
Oh, God.
Like Pirates of the Congress?
Yep.
Where the thing comes down through a dark hallway and goes around a corner and down a dip and suddenly you're in the Appropriations Committee.
You got it. Disney. Yep.
So here, Mona, is your next quote.
I know in my heart everyone has personal problems. I urinated in a parking lot.
That was someone who's become known all over North America for his personal problems. Who is it?
Oh, God.
Come on, the world's greatest politician.
Oh, Rob Ford.
Of course, thank you.
Or as we like to call him around my house, the human spring break.
He's amazing. We thought we had seen every possible way the mayor of Toronto, Canada, could screw things up. He smoked crack. He talked graphically about sex at a press conference. But he keeps going further. It's like Rob Ford sat down, saw stories about himself on TV, and said, "Hey, I can beat that guy." So this week, we just got to keep checking in. The Toronto City Council called a meeting to strip the mayor of his powers, such as the power to set the budget. He still has some of his powers, such as invincibility while doing keg stands, and he still has X-ray vision. You know, okay, it's really just a creepy stare, but still.
I heard Charlie Sheen gave him a call for support.
He did. He wrote him an open letter, said, "Give me a call, man."
Like, I know the best crack spots.
Exactly.
You know, he had his own TV show.
He still does.
No. It lasted one day.
Yes.
I'm devastated. I mean, that's a great show. He's the best thing to come out of Canada. I mean, you got take back your Celine Dion and your Justin Bieber. I'll even give you Ryan Gosling if I can continue to watch this man.
He's like the Honey Boo Boo level of...
Yeah.
He's like on Honey Boo Boo level.
He's amazing.
Of amazing.
But here's the problem they have, which is that according to the rules in Toronto and Ontario, you cannot fire the mayor, nor can you recall him. You have to wait for the next election. So that's why they just took away his power, so he can't do any more damage.
You know what you do?
But that's a terrible mistake, because everything he's done so far, the crack smoking and the drinking and all of it, that's been while he's trying to keep it together to do his job. He doesn't have anything to occupy his time. He's going to climb the CN Tower and try swatting down airplanes now.
You know how you get rid of him?
How do you get rid
of him? A little crack crumb trail.
Really?
Out of town.
Just
like little sprinkles of crack out of town, like Hansel and Gretel. And he'll leave eventually. He'll end up in Detroit somewhere.
He's losing. Here, Mona, is your last quote.
Okay.
Drunk at a mate's 21st, I tripped and landed lip first. And sorry about the focus, it was a selfie.
That description on a blog about 10 years ago of a photograph is the first recorded use of the word selfie. The Oxford English Dictionary has named that what? Is somebody there with you? Because we keep hearing this very low masculine voice in the background. Is that somebody there?
My alter ego.
Your alter ego is there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now my husband's sitting next to you.
Your husband's sitting next to you.
Yes.
Does he know? Does he know?
He's saying word of the year.
He's right.
Oh.
So twerk can just suck it.
Twerk? Twerk was a runner-up.
The only thing with selfies, Peter, is I don't mind them so much, is this when I see people take selfies with filthy rooms in the background.
You think they should clean up?
Just clean up your house or wherever you are a little bit before you take a selfie.
Or you can just get a picture of a clean room, hold it behind yourself.
Something.
Phone in front.
So what do you think the next forecast, if we can Miss Cleo this up, what will be the next word of the year next year?
How about the word forted? Like, I went out Saturday night and had 15 vodka shots and got really forted.
That's true.
Or invariably, Ford-faced.
Right.
Boy, did I get Ford-faced last night.
Ford-faced is a new word.
Damn, I got Ford-faced.
Oh.
Don't get in the car. You're too Ford-faced. Give me the keys.
I'm sorry, man. I forded all over your back seat. Carl, how did Mona do in our quiz?
Mona, you had a perfect game. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you, Mona, for playing.
Thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Now, right now, panel, it is time, of course, for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Faith, the Wall Street Journal reports that after years of research, businesses have finally found a way to stop employee theft. They're just taking away what from the workers?
It's probably not their fingers.
That's next. And it's been considered in many a boardroom, I'm sure.
Can you give me a hint, please?
Well, say goodbye to those cargo pants you should have said goodbye to some years ago.
Pockets?
Yes, they're taking away pockets. It makes sense.
Clearly,
So wait a minute.
Clearly, they have no kangaroos working for them.
Exactly right.
So these people, they look like they're wearing like Star Trek uniforms
exactly.
to work?
Very, very slimming. Pocketless uniforms are now being issued to workers by nuclear facilities, casinos, and medical marijuana farms. So listen, a little helpful tip here. If your buddy says to you, hey man, I stole some weed from the pot farm where I work, take a second to think about where he must have hidden it.
I'm more worried about the guys at the nuclear plants who are carrying out the plutonium or whatever. I mean, why is your lower half glowing, Bob? What's going on at the nuclear plant?
It really brings new meaning to fanny pack.
It does. Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you want to, there's plenty of places in your clothes to hide stuff, right? Pockets or no. So you know where this is leading. It's like one day it's going to be, welcome to Best Buy. I'm your naked sales associate, Bill. Hey, my hands are full, but I can still point you to our DVD players. They're...
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Charlie Pierce, Faith Saley, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Lerner Theater in Elkhart, Indiana, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is John DeMott from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, how are things in Cleveland?
You know, they're kind of cloudy, but, you know, it's probably going to be a bright day tomorrow.
There you go. That's the Cleveland attitude. It's going to be brighter tomorrow. What do you do there in Cleveland?
I'm a psychiatrist.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Target-rich environment.
Yeah. It's nice to have you with us, John. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is John's topic?
Occupied.
Flying home this holiday season? Good news, you no longer have to avoid drinking water before your long-haul flight. Our panelists are going to give you three excellent reasons to visit the airplane bathroom taken from this week's news. Guess the real story, and you will win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail, whatever you got. Ready to play?
I am.
Well, let's begin then. First, let's hear from Charlie Pierce. Oh.
Wendy Hasmonic was flying from Los Angeles to New York on a very important sales trip. While waiting in line for the economy class Lou, she struck up a conversation with a handsome stranger who was behind her in line. In hopes of continuing their new friendship, Wendy wrote her seat number on the mirror in the plane's bathroom, along with the name of the hotel where she would be staying. She then walked back up the aisle. Behind her, without her knowing, another passenger suddenly was taken ill, and the other passengers in line allowed him to go to the bathroom ahead of the person Wendy had been talking to. He saw Wendy's note and took the information down. 3 days later, he called her at her Los Angeles hotel, and the two agreed to meet for a drink when they went back to New York. When she arrived at the bar of the Peninsula Hotel in Manhattan, she was surprised to see Jim at a table surrounded by what appeared to be very large Swiss guards. Jim was Jaime Maradona, the nephew of Pope Francis I. That was 4 months ago. Wendy and Jim will be married in January in the Sistine Chapel by the Pope. I don't think it's the most romantic way two people ever met, Wendy said, but it's certainly a story for the grandkids one day. And what about the poor slob who wasn't related to the Pope for whom the note was actually meant? I hope he's as happy as I am, said Wendy. He was really cute. And I think he probably is a little bit less intimidated by his in-laws.
A woman writes her information on a bathroom mirror, ends up marrying into the Pope's family. Your next story of a new kind of mile-high club comes from Faith Saley.
Everyone agrees that the worst part about the airplane bathroom experience, besides the fact that the mirrors make you look like the portrait of Dorian Gray, is the smell. But fasten your seatbelt low and tight across your lap because, are you ready for this? That very airplane bathroom odor actually prevents motion sickness and produces a sense of well-being, according to a recent study. Turns out our senses can't handle being bombarded in multiple ways. So when the cloying smell of industrial cleaner and perfumed hand soap in the lavatory surrenders its fight to mask the scent of human contributions, the noxiousness trumps any motion-induced nausea squeamish passengers might feel. University of Calgary biochemist Cecilia Cunningham, who led the study, explains, inhaling ethyl alcohol ammonia at high altitudes produces a mild euphoria similar to getting high from marijuana. She adds, we suggest frequent flyers become frequent peers. Glade has cashed in on this study and is now working on a new line of air fresheners that smell like airplane toilets. Instead of pine trees, think dangling airplanes. The line is called aromatherapy.
The smell of an airplane bathroom found to bring on euphoria and decrease air sickness. Your last story of a reason to visit the high-flying Lou comes from Brian Babylon.
There are many mysteries of the airplane bathroom. How does one over 6 feet sit down and use it? Could one tamper with a smoke detector and not get caught? Would one die if they drank the water from the sink? But now there's a new mystery, gold. That's right, gold stashed away in airplane bathrooms. Indian officials say they've recovered over $3 million worth of gold. On two separate occasions, cleaning crews have found over 300 bars of gold in airplane bathrooms. In one case, a cleaning crew found 280 bars literally flushed down the toilet. It was like a leprechaun had stomach flu from some bad curry in there. So the next time you go to the bathroom on a plane, you might find a bar of gold instead of that old worthless Sky Mall magazine.
All right. One of these is a story about something remarkable that's happened in the airplane bathroom. Is it from Charlie Pierce, a woman who tried to give her number to somebody, gave it to somebody else, ended up marrying the Pope's nephew? From Faith Saley, a discovery that the smell of airplane bathrooms actually makes you feel better about everything? Or from Brian Babylon, the discovery of mysteriously hidden caches of gold in airplane bathrooms in India? Which of these is the real story about a happy surprise in the lavatory?
Good Lord.
He's not going to help you.
I think it's probably the first one.
The first one, Charlie's story of a woman who tried to give her number to one guy, ended up with the Pope's nephew.
It seems unlikely that you'd find $3 million worth of gold on only two flights. So yes, I'll go with Charlie.
All right, you're going to go with Charlie. Well, actually, to bring you the real story, don't trust us. Why don't you trust CNN?
A stash of 24 gold bars worth over $1 million made its way onto the flight and into an unlikely hiding place.
Namely, the bathroom. So apparently, they managed to stuff that gold in there for those two flights. As you've heard, Brian told the truth this time. Mm-hmm. They didn't win, but you did earn a point for Charlie for his charming story of meet cute in the air. Thank you so much for playing.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Girls got a gold man, and he's so fine. Girls got a gold man, and it's all mine. Baby's got a gold man, treats me so kind, loves me rain and shine. My baby's divine.
And now the game where we take somebody from the Hall of Fame and bring them to the Hall of Lame. It's called Not My Job. University of Notre Dame women's basketball coach Muffet McGraw has led her team to five NCAA Final Fours. She took the title in 2001. She is in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. She's the reigning Naismith College Coach of the Year, and I have no doubt she could beat every single person in this theater at horse if she spotted us the first four letters. Muffet McGraw, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I was a little intimidated. I know what basketball coaches are like, and yet we spent a few minutes together already, and you haven't tried to choke me.
No.
I feel good. So you seem very nice for a college basketball coach.
It's my persona in public.
Really?
Yeah.
You're saying if we were like backstage and you wanted something out of me, you'd be hurling balls at my head.
I could post you up.
All right. I bet you could. don't get up. I'll trust you. You know, we don't have a lot of time. Let's get to the most important question. Muffet? Muffet is that your actual name or is that a nickname?
It's my legal name.
It's your legal name, but you're saying you weren't born with that name. You're nodding. Clearly, people have asked about this before, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you get the name Muffet, then?
Oh, it's really not a fun story.
Oh, please.
No.
What kind of tragic, unhappy story ends with someone getting the name Muffet?
It's the old nursery rhyme, Little Miss Muffet.
Really? That's where it came from?
It really did.
And were you...
Would you prefer Tuffet or Spider?
College sports is a cutthroat business, especially at Notre Dame, and they expect excellence and they expect toughness. Has having the name Muffet been a little bit of a hindrance? I mean,
well, you know, when I came there, Digger was the men's coach. So I thought I fit right in.
Yeah. Now, did you grow up playing basketball?
I did.
Right.
I played professionally for the California Dreams. I played in college for St. Joe's Philadelphia.
You played professionally for the California Dreams. This was a pre-WNBA women's professional league.
It was the first women's league, so I got my husband a T-shirt that said, "My wife is a dream."
Did you get tired of the wild lifestyle of a professional basketball player? The entourage, the hangers-on, the money?
All the kids you didn't know you had?
Yeah, yes. For example. So I have to say... you don't seem like you have, like, shall we say, the enormous height of a professional basketball player.
I was a point guard.
Now, imagine that I don't know anything about basketball. And that's your next one.
That's so funny.
Hold on, Peter. I'm getting the image here now.
Yeah, just pretend.
All right, go ahead.
Let me stand in for people who are so ignorant of basketball that they don't exactly know what that means. Would you explain what that means?
Well, the point guard is generally smaller than the other players on the team and bossier.
Really?
Yeah.
They run the show. She's like the Magic Johnson, even though he was big, Peter.
He's a big guy.
He's a big part, but she's like the John Stockton. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah. She passes the ball. Yeah. She shoots from the outside.
Of course, John Stockton was one of the dirtiest players in the history of the NBA.
Yeah,
were you dropping the elbow as the people came around the pick?
A little bit.
I thought so.
Really?
You got to.
I could see it. Yeah.
So now, I've always wanted to know... because I watch basketball on TV, and there are moments when the coach calls on the players, and he or she is just yelling at them, and you can't tell because, of course, you can just see it on TV. What are you saying at that moment? I mean, are you trying to motivate the players? I mean, don't they have motivation enough?
They do. We're talking about practice the next day and how hard it's going to be if we don't win this game.
Yeah. Really? You're sort of threatening them?
A little bit.
But let me try to, because I want to get a sense of this, because it's not a world I know anything about. Let's assume that you are coaching, say, me, and you're watching the sidelines, and I'm not doing a good job. I know that's hard to imagine, but let's assume. And you call me over and give me the full-on Muffet of the sidelines. What would that be like?
Why did I give you a scholarship?
That's the
lead. That's good.
That's to the point.
I'm going to get back out there and play, Coach. Everybody knows that the women's game is just as hard, just as demanding, and just as competitive as the men's game. But is the style different? Or is like trash talk different in the women's game?
No, it really it's an art form.
Trash talk?
Yeah, yeah.
So
we don't start it. We finish it.
No.
I have a question, Peter. So at Notre Dame, at your university, the women's basketball team is the basketball team because the men's basketball team is just, eh. You know, honestly, you know, I see you guys in the big tournament versus the NIT all the time. So how does it feel to have the basketball swag on campus versus the fellas?
Feels good.
Yeah.
And this is Indiana. Basketball is a religion here.
It is.
And so do you have like... Do you have, like, really annoying fans who, like, second-guess your choices?
At Notre Dame?
No.
Yeah. No.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I know Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame, you got to win at Notre Dame, right? No matter what. It's a very intense environment. Do you welcome that?
I do. Yeah? I do. We have the best fans in the country, though. They're awesome.
But they don't drive you crazy?
Not at all.
Really?
No.
Coaching here is a nationally known position. Did you get, like, have you gotten press attention? Have you gotten, like, national press for... with the work you've done here, what's that been like?
Yeah, we do. It's been great. You know, Sports Illustrated, when we first came out here, they called, and my husband was answered the phone. He's like, "Hey, Sports Illustrated's on the phone." I was like, "Dang, it's a great sports information department we got." So I came down to the phone and picked it up and said hello, and they said, "Is this Muffet McGraw?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "For just 99 cents an issue."
<that's>,
going.
Well, Muffet McGraw, we're delighted to talk to you here, and we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
So, what exactly is a tuffet, anyway?
Right. So, you're the first Muffet we've met, other than Little Miss herself. So we thought we'd ask you about her world, nursery rhymes and children's songs. Answer two out of these three questions about Mother Goose and her offshoots. If you do, you'll win our prize, one of our listeners, Carl's voice, in their voicemail. Carl, who is Muffet McGraw playing for?
Muffet is playing for Barbara Twitchell of Elkhart, Indiana.
All right. Okay, here is your first question. The nursery rhyme Goosey Goosey Gander is, according to some experts, really about what? A, consorting with prostitutes... B, an incident in the late 18th century British-Dutch naval war, or C, Goosey Goosey Ganders?
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C, it's actually about Goosey Ganders?
Yes.
No, it's actually about consorting with prostitutes.
Oh, wow.
According to some scholars, Goosey was a slang term for ladies of the evening, if you will. All right.
Oh,
so
one.
You're down a little bit. If you were your own player, what would you say?
I can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. You
I'm
go
prepared.
Out there. You know.
Just box out.
We all know Georgie Porgy pudding and pie, kissed the girls and made them cry. Okay. According to some scholars, that nursery rhyme is really full of veiled references to what? A, the discovery of the element oxygen. B, a gay sex scandal in the court of King Charles II. Or C, pudding and pie.
Could I get a hint?
No. Do your players get a little stepladder to dunk? No? Then you get a hint.
Number two sounds
the gay sex
terrible.
Scandal in the court of King Charles II. You are correct. Georgie, or George, was a courtier who was appointed a gentleman of the bedchamber to the king, and rumors flew. All right, that's very good. You have one right with one to go, so it's coming down to the final minutes. The French kids' song Alouette, you know, Alouette, Jolte Alouette, that one, very popular, kids all around the world. It may not be as popular if the kids knew what they were really singing about. Are they singing about, A gay sex scandal in the court of King Charles II, B, how much they love a certain hair product, or C, are they singing about plucking birds so they can eat them?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Why are you hissing at her?
See? C.
C.
We're going to go
C.
With C.
We're going to go with C. When the crowds call out plays, do you follow the plays? No, you're right. It's C.
Yay! Thank you.
Alouette, and alouette is a lark. French Canadians love to eat larks, and it's all about plucking all its little parts so they can eat it. Carl, how did Muffet McGraw do in our quiz?
Muffet had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins for Barbara Twitchell.
Well
Yay.
Done!
Hey.
Muffet McGraw is the head coach of the Notre Dame's women's basketball team. Muffet McGraw, thank you so much for being here. What a pleasure. In just a minute, Carl percolates up some lunch in our Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Faith Saley, and Charlie Pierce. And here again is your host at the Lerner Theater in Elkhart, Indiana, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl gets free next-day limericks with his Amazon Rhyme subscription. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Brian, everybody knows that Obamacare has had a rough first month or so. People have had trouble signing up. But we're happy to report that the Colorado version of the law has successfully covered whom?
Oh, the weed heads.
No.
Oh. Give me a hint.
Turns out that you can get covered even if you have the pre-existing condition of mange.
Dog?
Yes, a dog. A dog named Baxter was successfully covered under Obamacare. At least that's according to a letter received by a Colorado man saying that his dog, Baxter, has been successfully signed up for insurance. It's a little embarrassing to the bureaucrats who run the Colorado version of the marketplace. It's a good plan for the dog. It includes coverage for the cheese they hide its pills in and 15 minutes of the doctor stroking its neck until it swallows.
But when you see Baxter, you say, aw. He's really cute.
Sure.
He's 14, which makes him like 98 in people years. So
yeah.
That's,
and
that
he
is a very liberal application of Obamacare.
That's very
right?
nice.
So is he on Medicaid or something?
Dog lovers, of course, are thrilled that the new health insurance system apparently covers us and dogs, but it's weird for people to leave the doctor's office with a big cone around their necks.
Can I ask a basic question?
You may.
Because I always learn here at this show. Is a cone so you won't, like, touch wounded parts?
Yeah, the cone is so that they don't chew or bite or lick the
stitches
or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? That's so stupid.
I thought
it was important to pour dog food in there so they can just eat it comfortably.
Right? So just kick back.
I thought it was a whole dog food
funnel.
Sometimes Rob Ford wears one when he goes out drinking.
That's important. Faith, $11,000 for a TV sounds like a lot, we admit it, but not when you consider the amazing new Samsung 39C model TV. Just turn it on, and you and your spouse sitting there together can do what?
Fix season 3 of Homeland.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
Not even at that price, I'm afraid.
Can I have a hint, please?
Well, you can watch Storage Wars. And your husband can watch Duck Dynasty, whatever turns him on.
You can watch two different shows at the same time on the same screen?
Exactly right. That's what you can do. It uses a technology similar to digital 3D, right? So you each put on these high-tech goggles, and you look at the same TV, and you can see different programs. So maybe the husband wants to watch an action movie, while the wife wants to watch that new romantic comedy where two people love each other despite their complete lack of common interests. This is what we can't figure out. It's like, okay, you're going to sit down on a couch together. You're going to watch two different shows on an $11,000 TV. You're going to listen to the different shows through the earpiece in the glasses, right? So you're totally locked off from each other. What is the point of sitting there with each other?
No, that's called marriage, Peter. It's called marriage. That's what we do. You do your thing, I'm doing my thing. I'll see you next week.
Charlie, just when you thought there was nothing new under the sun, scientists have discovered an entirely new type of what?
They find a new species. They found a new like rat or something in Sumatra.
They're always finding rats in Sumatra. Who cares about
giant
rats in
Sumatra? Rats of Sumatra.
No. I'll give you symptoms include yawning, thumb twiddling.
They found new ways to be bored?
Exactly right. They found a new kind of boredom. This was in Germany. German scientists.
Oh, well, there
we go. They did this very careful survey of students and their experiences throughout the day, and they expected to find four distinct types of boredom, but in their research, they discovered a fifth, never before classified, form of boredom. And we have discovered a sixth form called reading research papers by German scientists. No, I'm sorry. That's not fair, because it's fascinating. You think boredom is boredom. It's not. There are four main types. These are the ones they expected to find. Calibrating boredom, searching of boredom, reactant boredom, and PBS. But the fifth type they discovered is called apathetic boredom.
But don't they have medicine for that?
Yeah, it's called speed.
Yeah, oh, there it is.
Brian, newspapers in Austria are reporting that a Roomba-like cleaning robot is perhaps the first ever robot that we know about that did what?
The first robot to finally understand what love is? I know, that was silly. Give me a hint.
You just couldn't take it anymore.
Suicide
yeah,
bots?
Yeah, the robot killed itself.
Oh.
The Roomba, you know, this thing, it's just an automated vacuum cleaner, but apparently that's no way to live.
He thought he could be doing bigger things.
This is what happened. The robot cleaner's owner swears that when he left his apartment, the Roomba somehow turned itself on, drove onto a hot plate, setting itself and the kitchen on fire.
Did it leave a note?
You know what happened, Peter?
What?
That Roomba broke up with the blender and couldn't take it. So are we going to start prescribing, like, robot Xanax or something?
I need some St. John's wort.
It's like, oh, it's no use.
Well, you know that's politically incorrect. You're not supposed to assume that robots speak like that.
I just thought...
Wait a minute. It's now politically incorrect
to think robots talk like this?
To do robot talk?
What is this, the 80s? They've come a long way.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Theater in Chicago, Illinois, or our upcoming show in Memphis, Tennessee, December 19th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is John Martin from Sarasota, Florida.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Sarasota is a beautiful place. I spent some time there.
Yes, it is, but it's not my hometown.
Oh, what is your hometown?
Well, I was a firefighter for 25 years in Elkhart, Indiana.
Wait a minute. You were a firefighter right here in Elkhart?
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows Fireman John.
Now, hang on a second, John. You happen to be speaking right now in addition to our radio listeners, but you're speaking to a room full of Elkhartians. So what do you have to say to them from your retirement in Florida?
It's warm down here.
Well, welcome back to Elkhart virtually, John. It's nice to have you. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Carl, give him his first limerick.
Though my office may frequently scoff me, I cook salmon and couscous and toffee. Once I take out the grounds, it's a stove without bounds. I make food where most others brew
coffee.
Right, coffee, very good. Sure. You love that first cup of coffee in the morning, but have you ever wished it was chewier? Chefs around the world have introduced a variety of recipes that require only your trusty coffee maker. You can steam veggies in the top, you can boil soup in the carafe, and use the burner to grill pork. And there's nothing better than a piping hot hamachino. Very good. Here is your next limerick.
When Spot comes back in from a jog, he emits a rank, harsh-smelling fog. Though my spray makes him whine, he's going to smell fine. I bought some perfume for my...
dog.
Dog, yes! Perfumes for dogs are apparently selling out at pet stores around the country. The perfumes come in two varieties, his and hers. The his version smells of cedarwood, basil, and dog butt. And the her version smells of jasmine and dog butt. And if you're wondering how to get the perfume onto the dog, all you do is spray it on the dead bird in your lawn and wait for the dog to go roll around on it.
High-end dog stuff, man, has gone too far.
It really has.
Like, I wish people, and those city slickers, that's why people need to be real, like Elkhart.
You're not even supposed to call yourself a dog owner anymore, right?
Well, that's,
what am I?
What? Yeah, there's like a new term for it. It's like
I'm a companion.
Yeah,
human?
like you're the companion.
Who's offended?
I'm not.
No, is a dog saying, I can't believe you called me a dog owner? Is a dog saying
right,
that?
The idea of owning the animal. Is
Are they mad
upsetting.
About that?
He's mad.
Don't nobody owe me, Ruff Ruff. Are you kidding me? No one's doing that. No dog is saying that.
All right, here is your last limerick.
As a body's big muscle mass grows, it makes sure that more oxygen flows. A woman's proboscis is rarely preposterous, but we men grow a much bigger
nose.
That's correct. According to new research from the University of Iowa, men's noses tend to be around 10% bigger than women's, on average. Scientists theorize this is because men need larger noses to get more oxygen to feed their muscles, and because women need smaller noses to avoid having to smell men. Carl, how did John do in our quiz?
John, you had a great game. You had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done.
All right, Fireman John.
Thank you, sir. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Your correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Well, Brian Babylon and Charlie Pierce are tied for first. They both have 3 points. Faith Saley has 2.
All right. Faith, you're in last place, but knowing you, that won't last for long. You're up first. So the clock will start when I begin your first question. Hundreds of people were displaced after as many as 80 blanks swept through the Midwest last Sunday.
Tornado.
Right. Although the U.S. reached a security deal with blank this week, President Hamid Karzai wants to defer signing it.
Afghanistan.
Right. Just a week before Thanksgiving, Butterball announced that there is a shortage of large, fresh blank.
Turkeys.
Yes. Thanks to building code regulations, Sweden's ice hotel, made entirely of ice, had to install blank.
Heaters.
No fire alarms. In a rare appearance, former President Blank appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno to show off his paintings.
George W. Bush.
Right. Walmart came under fire this week after it held a food drive for needy employees of Blank.
Walmart?
Yes, Walmart. A new internet service is helping employees leave early by blanking.
By taking over their jobs.
No. The employees activate this website that makes their computer look like it can't work because it has a virus. It's called the Happy Hour Virus. You can Google it, go to the website, and it looks like a worm is destroying your computer, so you can say to your boss, well, I can't work like this, and make it to the bar in time for the breakfast special. Now, it's a little dishonest, but it's an improvement over the old method, which was actually destroying your computer by either spilling soup on it or creating a national healthcare program. Carl, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Well, Faith had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and Faith has taken the lead.
All right. Okay, we flipped a coin, and Brian has elected to go next. Brian, fill in the blank. On Friday, a ceremony was held in Dallas's Dealey Plaza to mark the 50th anniversary of blank.
JFK assassination.
Right. Although its supreme leader warned his country not to give up its nuclear rights, world leaders continued negotiations with blank this week.
Iran.
Right. A New Hampshire fugitive was caught after he blanked his own wanted poster.
He forged his own wanted poster.
No, he commented on it on Facebook. Best known for her book, The Golden Notebook, Nobel Award-winning author blank died last Sunday at age 94.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Like, really, I would know that? I don't know.
Doris Lessing. Adam Levine said this week he thought it was flattering and hilarious that he had been named People Magazine's blank.
Sexiest man alive?
Yes. A Detroit man has gotten back at his ex-wife for cheating on him by blanking.
By remarrying her.
No, he did not.
Can I say this one?
Yes, Charlie, I'm going to give you the chance.
This is my favorite story of the week. He erected in his yard a metal statue of a large middle finger and aimed it at her house, and not only did that, put a spotlight on it so it would shine at night.
That's exactly right, except, Charlie, it wasn't his house that he did this in. He bought the house next to hers expressly for this purpose.
And it's the spotlight that makes it art, by the way.
But in interviews with reporters, Mr. Alan Markovitz emphasized that he never meant for the matter to become public. Besides, he says, quote, I'm so over her. Carl, how did Brian do on our quiz?
Brian had 3 correct answers for 6 more points. He now has 9 points, but Faith still has the lead with 12 points.
All right. So how many then, Carl, does Charlie need to win?
5 correct answers.
He needs 5 correct answers. All right, Charlie, this is for the game. Here we go. On Wednesday, Governor Pat Quinn signed legislation making Illinois the 16th state to legalize blank.
Marriage equality, gay marriage.
Yes. Oprah Winfrey and Bill Clinton were among the 16 people awarded the presidential blank on Wednesday.
Medal of Freedom.
Right. For its role in the mortgage crisis, blank agreed to a $13 billion settlement this week.
J.P. Morgan Chase.
Exactly right. This week, an Italian court released documents revealing salacious details about blank's bunga bunga parties.
Oh, it's got to be Silvio Berlusconi.
It is. A Texas man is recovering after mistaking a blank for one of those lighters that looks like a gun.
A gun.
Exactly right. James McBride's The Good Lord Bird was awarded the blank for fiction on Wednesday.
The National Book Award.
Right. On Thursday, the five surviving members of the British comedy group Blank announced they would be reuniting for live shows.
Monty Python!
Yes, 5 weeks after going to Munich for Oktoberfest, an Italian man finally blanked.
Threw up.
No. 5 weeks after he went to Oktoberfest, he remembered where he parked his car. Andreas O. parked his Volkswagen on a side street. 5 weeks later, he finally found it, but oddly, he still needs a couple more weeks till he's sober enough to drive. Carl, I think Charlie did very well. Did he do well enough to win?
He had 7 correct answers for 14 more points, so it's 17 points. Turner Pierce is this week's champion.
Very well done. The Fighting Irish indeed, Charlie.
Indeed.
In just a minute, now that the new Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are finally out, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what the surprise hit game is going to be. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, with an app that lets users manage their car insurance policies, update payment info, and handle claims at eSurance.com. Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at LumberLiquidators.com. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership, and Subaru, introducing the all-new 2014 Forester. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our intern is Stephen. You say tomato, Tobias. I say tomato, Tobias. Our CFO is Ann Nien. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Acton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, what will be this season's surprise hit video game? Brian Babylon.
It's going to be Ira Glass, Grand Theft Auto.
Hello, I'm Ira Glass. I want your car. Get out of it or I'll kill you. Faith Saley.
It's a violent game in which you try to avoid an oblong creature charging at you, and it's called Toronto City Council Meeting.
And to Charlie Pierce.
A fat guy in overalls climbs to the top of the CN Tower and drops empty beer barrels on other people. It is Toronto Kong.
Well, if we end up playing any of those games, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks to also to Charlie Pierce, Faith Saley, Brian Babylon. Thanks to Anthony Hutt and everybody at WVPE. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.